Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. ¿15 years on a cruise ship, is this something you would want to do? Let's discuss. Hey, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell, and in the studio, we have my co-host, Peter. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Campbell. Hi, everyone.
All right, so welcome back, everybody. We are in day two of our travel article, and we're talking about this couple, Jim and Chris Gold. Now, why are we reading a whole article about this couple?
Right. Well, this couple is doing something that most of us probably never thought of doing, and that is they are going to travel on a cruise ship, but they're going to do more than just travel on it. They're going to live on it. They have committed to living year-round, 365 days a year, on this cruise ship for the next 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they plan on being on this cruise ship for 7 years. Now, as you said, Peter, most of us haven't thought about doing this, but it is not as uncommon as we maybe imagine, right? Because according to Mikael Pedersen, who is the chairman of the cruise ship company, 70% of their cabins have been sold to long-term residents.
Right, right. So the Golds are the focus of our article, but they are apparently just one example of what seems to be a growing, or at least a new trend in, well, in both travel and in real estate, you might say.
Yes. So they're not just going on vacation. They're planning on selling their house, and basically they're going to move on board the ship and live there. And their plan is to be on the ship for the next 17 years. Now, there are definitely things to think about, right? For example, we talked about their cramped 140 square foot stateroom. So this is the room that they will be living in on the ship. But is that a concern for them?
It does not seem to be a concern for them to be cramped, meaning to have to basically just not have enough space for something, because the ship, as a cruise ship, is so well equipped with other things and places to do. There's a gym with exercise classes. There's a buffet where they will eat. There's entertainment in the afternoon. So it's not like they'll be spending 7.5 years or 7 years in this, you know, 140 square foot stateroom.
Right.
They have this vast cruise ship at their disposal.
Yeah, yeah. And basically, for those who haven't been on a cruise ship is similar to just a hotel.
Yeah.
On water, right? And so they have, you know, they have, you know, the cruise ships I've been on, they have parks, they have, you know, pools, they have different places that you can just walk around. They have like a mall so you can shop. So it's basically, you know, there's a lot you can do on a cruise ship, but they're not just going to stay on the cruise, right? They have what we call port calls. So they will be visiting a lot of different places around the world. In fact, for the first 3.5 years, they're going to be on this continual world cruise, and they're going to stop at 425 ports in more than 140 countries. And as Peter said yesterday, that's, you know, one place every day or every couple of days, right?
Right. So they're going to almost always have something to do. It's not just going to be they're out at sea for weeks at a time with nothing but the ocean and the horizon.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting. And they're quite suited for this type of travel. They've actually spent 14 years in an RV, right? As we learned yesterday, RV is a recreational vehicle. And what were they doing for those 14 years?
Right. Well, they were traveling in this RV, you know, this sort of giant van. around the 48 contiguous states of the United States. And by that, we just mean the United States, except for Alaska and Hawaii, because they're not, you know, all in that same general area that the rest of the states are. And during this time, they gave classes on how to use computer tech, internet tech, if you are someone who travels a lot, or if you're someone who is just going to travel a little bit, even how to shoot videos and how to upload them and how to use this app and that app and Zoom and such like that.
Yeah. So things that, I think are beneficial for those that are traveling, things that, you know, maybe the average person doesn't think about, but they have built the whole company around it. All right. Well, let's learn more about the plans of the Golds and what they're planning to do on the ship and who else will be on the ship with them. Please join us at the top of page 19 where it says video bloggers galore.
Video bloggers galore. The couple is itching to travel again, but without the headaches of traffic and shopping. The Gulls plan to continue to post training videos from the ship that show how they respond to challenges that arise as they visit the various ports on the ship's itinerary. They've already started sharing their plans with their 16,700 YouTube subscribers and just under 1,000 paid Geeks on Tour members. They won't be alone using the internet to work on the ship, Jim says. A large number of the ship's cabins are occupied by solo travelers who make their living working remotely. Like the Golds, many shoot and post videos.
All right, so they are itching to travel again. All right, the title of this section is Video Bloggers Galore. First, who or what are video bloggers?
Video bloggers are people who leave. It's like journaling. You, in a journal, you would write about something that happened to you, your thoughts about a particular subject or person or event. And in the early 21st century, people who journaled online were called bloggers. And so video blogger is someone who journals, posts it online, but instead of it being written text, it's a video of them talking to the camera or talking to someone else. In fact, there's even a term for it here. Campbell, you probably know this, which our article does not use, which is a combination of video and bloggers. Vloggers.
Right, yeah.
But here it's the older term of video blogger.
Right. The actual, I mean, the interesting thing about this whole thing is the word blog is also a term. It's from weblog, weblog, and they just kind of took the W-E off and it became blog.
Right.
So weblog, it became a blog, which is, you know, basically a journal, an article that people write online. And in the beginning, before the, you know, proliferation of like cameras and all these things, it was more just text. Right?
Yeah.
People wrote. So those were called bloggers, or so the bloggers, they wrote blogs. And then, as you said, they then with video cameras being more, you know, common, then they became video blogs, or as we call them, vlogs. Right. So, yeah, this English is constantly growing and changing all the time.
Yep.
Okay. Now we have another word here, galore, right? And I, and you know, you were saying off air, you love this word.
Galore. Oh, galore. Yeah. It's such a, it's such a silly, funny word, but it's useful in that way because it expresses, it means something that exists in large amounts or in large numbers. If you are a fan of shrimp and you find a seafood restaurant, then you know that they will have not just shrimp, they will have shrimp galore. You know, it's a word that expresses your emotional delight at finding an abundance of something.
Right. So the Golds are planning to use the internet for their, you know, they're not going to just be traveling. They're going to continue to post videos as they did when they were in their RV, but they're not alone. Okay. So it says the couple is itching to travel again. Now, that's an interesting phrase there, to itch to do something.
Yeah, yeah. It means to feel a prompting to do it, feel a desire, an urge to do it, like an itch. Now, it's funny because most of us would rather not feel itchy or feel an itch, but the phrase does exist in English, that if you're itching to travel again, it's deliberate because it means it's a strong urge. It's right. like an itch, you know, it's something that compels you to address it. You can't just kind of put it to the side and exist with it. You have to deal with it in some way.
Right. And as we said, the past 14 years, they've been traveling in an RV, but and they want to continue to travel, but they don't want the headaches of traffic and shopping, right? So if you imagine if you're driving in an RV, you know, sometimes you get stuck in, you know, maybe you're on a highway and you get stuck in the traffic and you're the one that's driving and you have to stay awake and all that stuff.
Right,
and
right.
and then also you're the one that has to go to the grocery store and buy the food and all your, you know, supplies and toiletries and all those things, right? And so the great thing about being on a ship is all that is taken care of.
Right.
Right. You're not the one that's driving the ship. You don't have to, as we mentioned yesterday, you don't have to buy any food. You don't have to cook the food. You don't have to clean, you know, all those things. Actually, there's people who even come and clean your stateroom, right?
Yes,
like in a hotel,
yes.
right? So, you know, I think it sounds like a good deal,
yeah.
right? So what are they planning to do on the cruise ship?
Right. Well, talk about video blogging. The Golds plan to continue to post training videos from the ship that show how they respond to challenges that arise as they visit the various ports, the ports of call, we learned yesterday, as they visit the various ports on the ship's itinerary. Itinerary, a good travel word, just means the list of things or places that you're going to visit and when you're going to visit them, how long you're going to be there, that sort of thing.
Right. And so if as they're visiting different countries and different ports, obviously there's going to be issues that rise. You know, maybe some places don't have internet or their internet is not as strong. Or, you know, I know one thing I always have to get when I travel is to get like an eSIM, right? A SIM card for my phone
right.
that can allow me to access the network in whatever country or place that I'm visiting.
Right. right?
So things like that and different tips that they're going to figure out and have to navigate as they travel. And they've already started sharing their plans with their 16,700 YouTube subscribers. So that's a lot of people that are watching and that are subscribed to their YouTube channel, and just under 1,000 paid Geeks on Tour members. So as with many YouTubers, they provide free content on YouTube. And then if you really like what they're doing and you want more in-depth information, they often have a paid subscription or some sort of paid membership where you can support them, but also kind of get a little bit more in-depth information.
Right.
Well, are they going to be alone doing this?
No. See, this is interesting. They won't be alone. And this follows up on an idea that we first came across yesterday. They won't be alone using the internet to work on the ship, Jim says. A large number of the ship's cabins are occupied by solo travelers who make their living working remotely. Like the Golds, many shoot and post videos. So mm-hmm. this is why our section is called Video Bloggers Galore, because the Golds will not be the only people on the boat shooting and posting videos about their adventures.
Right. So, I mean, this is interesting, right? Because, you know, whenever I was on a cruise ship, you know, the internet wasn't always stable, right? Mm-hmm. Also, you'd had to pay an extra fee to access the internet. And if you imagine, you know, when you're on the internet, you're in the middle of the ocean, the ship is moving. Sometimes the internet connection isn't as stable,
sure.
right? But this is something that a large number of the ship's cabins, the travelers in those cabins are planning to use. And they're going to work remotely, right? And I feel like that's something that's been more common ever since the pandemic.
Definitely, yes, and enabled by developments in technology like internet and Zoom and such like that. And this, you know, again, I used the phrase, I think, yesterday, another piece of the puzzle falls into place
mm-hmm.
in terms of helping us understand how not only the Golds, but apparently lots of other people are going to be on this ship with them long-term for years at a time, because in the, you know, in 2026, we have the technology and the sort of economic situation where people can make their living remotely. And so that enables them to work from almost any place, even the middle of the ocean.
Right. Yes. Now, we started this section and the title saying video bloggers galore. Now, not everybody who works remotely is a vlogger or a video blogger, but many are, right? So there are people who maybe work remotely doing other jobs or other things, but there are a lot of people who will be shooting and posting videos. And it's interesting, you know, when growing up, that was not a career.
Yeah.
I mean, the internet didn't exist, right? And so this is actually a legitimate career that people have now, where they make videos and they post and they make money off of that. All right, so how much is all of this going to cost? That's the big question, right? We started the article yesterday saying, will it be exciting? Yes. Expensive? Kind of. So how expensive is this 15-year, 7-year journey? Let's read the rest of this article and find out.
Different price points. The cruise line offers a variety of pricing options, depending on the chosen size of living quarters and tour length. Residents can purchase for up to 15 years or rent their cabins for shorter periods. Purchasers have the option of selling back unused portions of their residency terms, trading up to larger, more expensive cabins, or leasing or selling their space with the potential of receiving a net return on your investment, according to the company's website. Finding the right price. The couple said they were initially interested in buying a cabin with a balcony, but the company wanted $340,000 for a balcony cabin, plus $8,000 a month for amenities such as food, entertainment, health club use, and laundry services. During a week-long try-before-you-buy sailing, the Gulls tried out a 140-square-foot cabin with a window and no balcony. Thankfully, I decided that I like that because that was only $170,000 up front and $5,000 a month, Chris said. At that rate, we might actually be saving money compared to all that we spent on travel last year. Chris said, "We're still, in our opinion, fairly young, and we're healthy, but we're definitely getting older. So if we want to have one more chapter in our adventure, this is the time to do it. This is the next chapter."
This is the next chapter. All right, so let's discuss how much this next chapter is going to cost them. So there's different price points, right? So the cruise line offers a variety of pricing options depending on what?
Depending on the chosen size of living quarters and the tour length, meaning depending on how big a room you want and how long you're going to be on the boat.
Right, and there's different options here. It says residents can purchase for up to 15 years, right? Like the Golds, they have a 15-year option, or rent their cabins for shorter periods. So maybe a couple months, maybe 1 or 2 years. Purchasers have the option of selling back unused portions of their residency terms, trading up to larger, more expensive cabins, or leasing or selling their space with the potential of receiving a net return on your investment, according to the company's website. So people don't need to worry that, you know, if they sign on to this 15-year contract that they're locked in.
Right, yeah. And this is kind of what I was saying in joking earlier, and yesterday, but how this article is partly about real estate as it is about travel.
Right.
But here, you know, this is right here, we're seeing that, you know, it's maybe not even that much of a joke because you potentially can buy one of these rooms and then turn around and lease it to someone else. To
right.
lease something just means in which you, you know, allow someone to use a building or a car or a room on a cruise ship for a period of time in return for rent. You lease it to them. You can even sell, it says. You can even sell your space with the potential of receiving a net return on your investment, according to the company's website.
Right.
So the cruise ship company, apparently, if I read this correctly, is fine with you buying one of their rooms, turning around and selling it to someone else
right.
for a profit.
Yeah, So it does sound like a real estate. It sounds a little bit a combination of a lot of things, right? Yeah. You know, there's timeshare, right? You know, where there's vacation. You know, I think about there's resorts, right? And they sell timeshare. So you buy, you know, a room or you buy a property on their resort and that belongs to you. And then you can rent it out or lease it out. But also sounds a little bit like Airbnb, right?
Where
you have a house, an empty house, and, you know, you're not going to use it. So you can rent it out and people can borrow or rent your space, lease your space, and it just happens to be the spaces on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they spent a little bit of time trying to figure out the right price, right? So the couple here, Jim and Chris Gold, said they were initially interested in buying a cabin with a balcony, but what was the problem with that?
Well, the problem is a balcony is real nice. It's that little porch, that little standing area outside of a building by a window where they give you a view out onto the street. It's very nice, and the company knows that. And so if you want a room with a balcony, it's going to cost you $340,000 plus $8,000 a month for food and entertainment, health club use, laundry services, all of which are referred to in the article here as amenities. And that's basically what they are. Amenity, when you go to a hotel, or in this case, a cruise ship, amenities are additional luxuries or necessities that are included in the price of your purchase or rental.
Yeah. But they didn't go with that option. They didn't.
Right.
Because when they did a try before you buy sailing, they tried out a 140-square-foot cabin that we talked about yesterday with a window and no balcony. And they ended up liking it.
Yeah.
And they're thankful for that.
Yes. Thankful, says Chris in the next paragraph, because it was only $170,000, which is half the price of the balcony cabin, and $5,000 a month, which is almost half as much for the amenities. So, yeah, considerable savings. In fact, Chris says that, speaking of savings, that price, those prices might actually be less than what they were spending living on land, or specifically on traveling around the land for the past year.
Which makes sense, right? But you know, the interesting, what stood out to me, I'm like, why would the amenities be cheaper if you're in a smaller room? Because, right? Because it's—
That's a good point.
The food is still the same food, and the entertainment is still the same entertainment, and the health club is still the health club.
Yeah.
You know, the laundry is still the laundry. So unless it's like you only get a certain— you can see this show, but not that show, and you can only eat this food, but not that food. You know, like what? That'd be interesting to look into. Like why such a big— that's $3,000 difference.
Right. Well, it's possible, and I'm being a little cynical here, but it's possible that the company's thinking if you're going to pay $340,000 for a cabin, paying an extra $3,000 for amenities shouldn't be much of a pain for you. You know, maybe they're just imagining that that kind of person has that kind of money, and so they'll charge them a little more for the same thing as the cheaper cabins.
Or maybe they just, you know, they have like special VIP sections or something or certain menu items that are only available to those that are paying for the premium price, right? Okay, so they're going to go for the $170,000 upfront and $5,000 a month option for the 140-square-foot cabin, which makes sense. I mean, like they said, they're not going to be in their stateroom all that often. So, you know, they are happy with their decision to go with this quote-unquote smaller room. Right.
Right.
And they're
this
going to—
this balcony-less room.
Yeah, this balcony-less room, which sounds good. And the reason that they said that they're saving money is because when you think about living in an RV, you have to pay for gas, and sometimes, you know, you need to park at some place, and sometimes the parking costs money, and then you also have to buy groceries and buy all these different things, and you have to pay for water, and so all that adds up, right? And sometimes you might need to stay in a hotel, right? So all
and
that.
Exactly. Just parking alone, when you're driving around in an RV, we talked about how that's, you know, almost like having your own private bus, and a bus is a little harder to park than a Toyota.
Yeah. Right. So $170,000 up front sounds like a lot of money, but when you really think about it, it's, you know, comparable to what someone might spend in a year if they were traveling in other ways. Okay. So Chris said they're still, in their opinion, fairly young, right? Again, they are now 72 and 71, right? So, I mean, yeah, technically.
Sure, that sure. could be fairly young.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're healthy, but they're definitely getting older. So, obviously, average lifespan now is about 80 to 100, right? So, you know.
Average, yeah.
Yeah. So, if they're wanting to travel, they do feel like this is their last real chance to do it.
Yeah, yeah. If you ever were going to live on the sea for 7 years, this age is the, you know, age you want to get it in.
Right. Okay. So, after discussing this couple and this cruise for 2 days, do you feel like this is something that you would be open to trying?
You know, I God love the Golds, but I think this is still just something I would not be made for. Maybe it's because I've lived most of my life in big cities. I'm right. what they call a city slicker.
Yeah.
But like I say, I'd love to spend more time on a boat. The few times I have, I've enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
But I can't see just day in, day out, week after week, even with all those ports of call
yeah.
to break it up. I think eventually I would just feel like, you know, I feel like going for a 2-hour walk today.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just circle the ship 90 times.
Right, right. Yeah. And there's a term called cabin fever.
Cabin
right?
fever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think I would probably get cabin fever. Yeah. I would get bored. You know, yeah. even though there are so many different things, but there's only so many times you can swim in a pool and.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would. I've enjoyed the cruises that I've been on. And, you know, I, like I said, the longest I've been on is 7 days. I think maybe I could extend it a week, maybe. But I think beyond that, I would get really bored.
Yeah. I think I'll just read Moby Dick.
I think, but to each their own, right? Everybody has their own preferences and the things that they enjoy. The other thing that I was thinking about is, you know, how would I see my family? Right, because it's not like my kids could just, I'm talking like when
right,
I'm older,
right.
right? Like how would my kid, like could they just visit,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
maybe fly to a port and get on the ship for a week or so?
So you wouldn't be bringing them with you?
Well, I was thinking when I'm 70.
Oh.
You know, because they right, would okay. probably be yeah. in their 30s or 40s. They would be independent, you know?
I see. So, okay, that's smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if I were, you know, how would they visit? I don't know.
Yeah. No, and that's a good point, too, that age does have a lot of bearing on the decision, how old you are when you do this. This may be a more attractive, because like we learned yesterday, the Golds are just one of several hundred people who
yeah.
are also signing on to this ship for years at a time. So
right.
they're not just these strange freaks or something. This
right.
is part of a trend.
Yeah, but the majority of them are solo travelers, meaning they're traveling by themselves.
Yes.
So that's also an interesting thing to think about. All right. Hey, actually, you know, later on in this month, we have another article about this wellness resort, right? And mm-hmm. they also have the option of where people can lease long-term and they can live there for a long term. So it'd be interesting to think about different options about how, you know, how you would like to spend your retirement.
Yes.
You know, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think about this idea of traveling for years at a time on a cruise ship. Is this something that you would want to do? Let us know. All right, we have one more day for this travel article, so make sure you come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. This is Campbell.
And this is Peter.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.